Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
You know, I have this, maybe it's a form of ADD or whatever, but my attention gets lost real easily. And I could be in a conversation with somebody and I can see like something shiny on, you know, the side of the wall. And I have stopped hearing your words. All I hear is wah, 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 wah. Because in my mind, I'm going, shiny, you know? And I do. And so I found this thing that I was doing in my marriage where Tara and I were having a conversation and the TV was on. And I learned early in my marriage that if my wife is talking, I've got to mute the TV. I got to turn it off because it could be a show I've watched a ton of times. But I'll just get, you know, into this mode and I'll be listening. I've learned that, you know, there's such thing as multitaskers. You can do multiple things at once. I've learned that I am not a multi-listener. I can only listen to one thing at a time. And so sometimes my wife, I think she's like, maybe I have a look in my eye. Maybe it's my body language. But, you know, she'll be talking and I'll be like watching something on TV. And then all of a sudden I'll hear, are you even listening to me? And I just think, wow. You know, I have this quote because I resonated with this so well. My wife just stops and said, you weren't even listening, were you? And I thought to myself, that's a pretty strange way to start off a conversation. Because that was kind of me. And you know, I'd like, of course I heard you. And then she would follow it with, well, then what did I just say? And then I was busted. But, you know, we learned early in our marriage that in order to really have the marriage quality that not only we desire, but God desires, we got to learn to listen. And if you want to have a better relationship with God, then it's going to be found in you learning how to listen more, how to hear his voice, the things that he has to say back to you. And I love this passage in 1 Samuel because we get a glimpse of somebody hearing the voice of God for the first time in their life. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus chronicles this story and goes on record to say Samuel was about 12 years old when this happened. So, you know, the backstory is there's this woman, Hannah. She can't have children. She begs to God to give her a child, and she says, God, I'll make a deal with you. You give me a child, and I will make sure that this child belongs to you. This child will serve you. This child will be dedicated to you. I mean, Hannah was serious, and so God gave her a child, and she was true to her word. She dedicated Samuel back to God, and he literally moved into the house of God with Eli, the high priest. And so Samuel's being raised up in the house of God, and God begins working on Samuel at a young age. And let me tell you something, parents. It makes a difference to raise your kids in the house of God. It makes a difference. And I'm so proud of you. Some of you are here tonight, not necessarily for your soul, but for your kids' souls. That you're like, I want my kids. You know, I got to just say this because this is not on my notes, but you know, Josiah, my son, went to club soccer, and he played all the games, and there was practice on Wednesday nights. And I started getting into this thing like, man, my son's going to play Division I soccer. So more soccer, weekends, more soccer, you know, tournaments, more soccer. And then it took my son to say, Dad, I really don't want to miss Wednesday nights because Tom's got a good word. And it took my son to tell me, I don't want to miss church to get me out of my delusion, go boo, boo, boo. You know, most of your kids are not going to play D1 sports. And even if they do, it's going to do their soul so much better for you to have them in church and have them miss out practice for an extra hour to be at church. And I'm speaking to somebody, maybe even online tonight. Do you know that I went to the coach with the risk that my son was going to get benched, my son was going to get to start. And that was all foolish thinking because my son was a good soccer player. He wasn't going to get benched. So I went to the coach and I said, hey, coach, you know, Josiah really wants to go to youth group, you know, on Wednesdays. I know practice is till like 8. So can he just practice 30 minutes and then he needs to cut out and go to youth group? He goes, absolutely. I support that. And then next thing I know, Josiah's not just coming to youth group by himself. He's got three of his soccer buddies coming with him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great story? So Samuel was being raised in the house of God. And that's when God started doing some great, deep work in Samuel. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. So nobody was really walking around with words from God. And there were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, meaning he was seasoned. Remember, we don't say old. He was seasoned. He was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. So that little feature is to give us a hint that it's probably around 4 a.m. How many of you have ever been woken up in the middle of the night at like 4 a.m. and then you realize that it wasn't an anomaly? It was God trying to wake you up. I've had that. Something about 4 a.m. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and he laid down. And again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he's 12 years old, he's in the house of God, but he hadn't yet had his own experience with God. But it was about to change. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Just write down that little sentence. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Powerful, powerful sentence. And I would even go as far as to say it's one of the most powerful prayers that you can pray. Some of you are like, man, I just need to up my game on my prayer life. Here's your take-home assignment, all right? Go home tonight, pray this prayer, wake up in the morning, pray this prayer, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And really be serious about listening, the listening part, right? And so that's what Samuel did, and everything in Samuel's life changed at that moment. God had a vision, he downloaded to Samuel, and the whole nation changed in this moment because Samuel not only heard the voice of God, he heeded the voice of God, and it created breakthrough not just for him, but for the entire nation of Israel. Let me give you three observations. Write these down. Number one, Samuel was in his place at the time that God spoke to him. I think one of the takeaways that we can give tonight is if you really want to be a person that's serious about hearing the voice of God speak to you, then I believe a lot is predicated of you making yourself available and being in the right place for God to do the speaking. Now, for me, it's in a quiet room. And part of the reason is, I just told you earlier, I get distracted easily. But I love outdoors. I love going outside. Not real, you know, ideal right now in Bakersfield, but, you know, finding a spot. I had a guy in Vegas years ago. He said, you know, because he had little ones in his house and they would wake up when he would wake up. He found his place in his truck before and after he got off work. And he would just go, and that was in his place, and that's where he heard God the loudest. But you have to position yourself in the right place in order for you to make the conditions right for you to pick up on God's frequency, on God's language, to whatever it is that you're asking God to speak to you about. So number one, find your place. Here's the second observation. God was repetitive with Samuel. So he spoke to him enough times to where Samuel finally understood. And what I've learned in following Jesus and listening to the voice of God, when God really wants to get your attention, he will repeat himself. And he won't just talk to you in this one-off, like, whimsical word, you know, that you're, you know, maybe you had an idea and you're like, I don't know, was that God or was that eating a Taco Supreme at midnight last night? And I will have to be fair, some of those ideas are not God. They were the Taco Supreme. Let's just be real with each other. But when God really wants to get your attention, he will repeat himself. There will be a repetition that will go on. He will call you into something multiple times. I like how one author said it. God doesn't speak in monotone. God speaks in stereo. And when God really wants to get your attention, he will speak in surround sound. Hello, somebody. He will be sending voices all around your life. He does it. You know, there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. It's known as the RAS, and it's the part of your brain that causes you to pay attention to sights, sounds, and smells. And so, for example, you know, when the new Ford Bronco came out, what was that, 3 years ago? I saw it on the road. I was like, wow, what is that car? Wow. I started like, sounds weird, but I started like lusting after a car. It was weird. I was like, Lord, forgive me. Like, why? And then something woke up in my brain because then I started seeing them everywhere. And what it is, it was the reticular activating system of my brain. It's the part of your brain that's saying, pay attention to Ford Broncos. And so every time there's a Ford Bronco near me, nobody even has to tell me, I already know. Why? Because my brain is telling me, pay attention to that. And maybe because the more I think about it, maybe the more I'm going to cause it to come into reality. I don't know. One day. If you have an extra Ford Bronco, hey, your pastor will take it off your hands. Okay. But as I'm sitting here thinking about this idea, you know, it could be something you see, it could be something you hear, and it's just like you pay attention to that. How many of you have ever been in your car and you just pay attention, like every time a certain song comes on or maybe a commercial, it's like that RAS is like waking up and causing you to pay attention. That's why commercial advertisements, they'll repeat because they know the more they repeat, the more your brain is like picking up on it to stick with you. Well, I believe when you get saved, your RAS, your reticular activating system, is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will be in you saying, hey, dude, pay attention to this. And that is part of tuning into the frequency of God. It's in the repetition. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the repetition. Here's the third one, and I think this is the one we need to lean into the most tonight, and then we'll get you guys out of here. And that is the fact that, you know, it never says, it never features in this text of how God spoke to Samuel. Now, Samuel woke up out of bed as if somebody had audibly told him, Samuel. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. And I think a lot of times we project text into the ancient text that isn't really necessarily spelled out for us. Was this an audible voice of God? And my gut instinct is it wasn't. And how do I come to that conclusion? Well, it says in Scripture, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, I haven't heard the audible voice of God. But I have heard God so loud in my mind in moments, it's as if I am hearing God audibly speak to me. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, it's what I call a thought bubble. It's this loud thought that is just overwhelming. And I really believe when you look at Scripture in its entirety, you'll see multiple times where God comes on scene and he begins speaking. Now, in some cases, like Paul in the book of Acts, I do believe that was perhaps an audible voice because the people around Paul like heard something. We know that perhaps there was an audible voice speaking to Moses because the people heard something. But I know that we can hear voices that aren't necessarily audible. And the reason I know this is because we have other voices that we're very much in tune with. There is a voice of self-hate in all of us that rises up sometimes. It's that inner voice that a lot of times will rise up and tell you, you're not qualified for this. You're so dumb. Why did you say that? How many have ever left a conversation with somebody or a meeting and you got in your car, you left the meeting, you went home, you're getting ready for bed, you're lying down in bed, and it's like there is a person that is there in your room just talking down and just tearing you down sentence after sentence. Have you ever experienced that? Where you are just, you're beating yourself up, but the thoughts are so loud in your head that some of you, I mean, you'll go and drink just to quiet that voice down. You will consume as much alcohol as it takes to get that voice to shut up. You will go smoke pot. You will go do a midnight call with somebody just to get your mind off this thing, to stop this voice, because the voice is so real. And then there's other voices that come on scene. And these voices aren't just like self-hate. These voices are demonic. Voices that are telling you to harm yourself. Voices that are telling you to harm another person. Voices that are telling you to leave your marriage and to maybe even kill yourself. And these thoughts can be so loud and so obnoxious that some people succumb to the voice and they will start listening to these voices. But let me declare to you, the voice of God is real, but so is the voice of the devil. The enemy of your soul has a voice. And some of you, he's got you right where he wants you because you are listening to every word that he's spewing out in your stinking thinking. That's right. Tweet that. It's stinking thinking. So it doesn't necessarily have to be audible. Are you tracking with me? Do you know, I found out this fun fact that, you know, the human ear hears about from 2 hertz to about 20,000 hertz. That's our range of hearing, like to audibly hear something. And the other day somebody told me, like, hey, the dog ear actually hears all the way up to 100,000 hertz. So a dog can actually hear things that we cannot hear. So there could be a noise, like how many felt the earthquake on Sunday? That was fun. Like we're all eating a meal after lunch and it's raining. And all of a sudden the house starts shaking. I'm like, man, it was a powerful church Sunday, man. The whole earth is shaking. We're on day 15 of our 21 days of prayer. But in all honesty, do you know it's a fact that dogs can hear an earthquake before an earthquake even rumbles in the ground? Where we feel the effects of the earthquake. A dog can hear it. So there are sounds, there are frequencies that are actually physically here that we cannot hear with our human ear, but a dog can. Other animals and other creatures can. So it's a matter of, okay, so in some kind of a frequency, there is the voice of God. And so Samuel was tuned in and he learned how to turn it up. What would happen to our relationship with God if we had a Samuel moment in our life where we learned the frequency, we trained our ear to hear? And just like learning a language, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school. And, you know, it's one thing to like learn it. It's another thing to like practice it. And a couple of summers after I graduated, I had the honor of like being a certified county grape inspector. And I was out there working alongside of amazing humans that only spoke Spanish. And so I got to kind of practice this idea of like speaking Spanish to all these amazing humans that I was getting to work with. And then I realized that, wow, like even though I've taken 4 years of Spanish, like when somebody is like fluent in Spanish and they're like thinking like I know what they're saying, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. But I noticed like by the second month of like having just this ability to stay in connection with these people. Like, I was learning how to process Spanish a lot more easily. So a lot of this is just like training your ear to hear God. And it's going to happen the more you put yourself into the presence of God and the more you start experimenting with your faith in hearing the voice of God. So thank you. So this is the idea, okay? What is God's primary language? What is his primary language? I call it God's first language of how God speaks to us more than any other way. Thank you, sir. All right. It's the Bible. It's God's first language. It's the Word of God. So I want to just take a few minutes, and where's the clock at, guys? I just want to take a few minutes here that I have with you, and I just want to just help some of you, because, you know, some of us, we talk about reading the Bible, and we look at it as this chore. We look at it like, well, to be a good Christian, I got to read my Bible. And, when, you know, so we like carry our Bible around. It's like, well, okay, I got to read my daily reading here. And we're missing the point. Like, God has laid out this beautiful, miraculous book that is called the Living Word, because it's living and active. And he's laid this out so that we can hear what he has to say to us through these ancient texts. And so let me just give you 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. This is so good. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and what's that word, church? And training in righteousness. Righteousness is a fancy word that basically means to do what's right. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the reason I love this translation, God breathed, is because you think about what is happening when you're reading the text. So when you open your Bible, what you're doing is you are receiving the exhale of God's breath on your life. So every time you open that book, God is exhaling. His breath is hitting your life. And another way of looking at this is when you are reading scripture, you're inhaling, you're taking in the breath of God for your soul. Like, do you see how this is a game changer? Not just for your Christianity, but for your entire existence on this planet. So think about the same way these ancient writers who were being inspired, right? The Spirit of God was breathing on them and they're writing the exhale of God on scriptures, that the Holy Spirit is on both ends. The Holy Spirit is in the text, but then the Holy Spirit's also receiving the text into our own lives. It's a dual purpose here. You're inhaling the exhaled, God-breathed words of life for your life. And here's what you need to understand. We all suffer a little bit from what I call spiritual amnesia. You know what amnesia is, right? Who am I? Was I born in Bakersfield? I don't know who I am. Are you my wife? Are you my kid? Like, we know what amnesia is. Like, you lose your memory. You're just like, you forget who you are. That's the whole idea of amnesia. And I think because we live in such a dark world, in such a broken culture, there's so many Christians that get up in the morning and they go to work, and by the time they punch in for their job, they have forgotten they are a child of God, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are put on this earth to make a difference for somebody else's life. We have spiritual amnesia. And so guess what? Every time you open the Bible, not only are you receiving the exhale of God, God, like a good parent, is ready to meet you, to remind you, to speak words of life over you, to encourage you. Now, not all of you had the privilege of having a mom or a dad before you went to school that maybe wrote a little letter and put it in your lunchbox. I love you. You are the most beautiful person and creature on this planet. And God loves you, and God has wonderful things for your day today. I am praying for you. Not everybody had a parent like that. Now, my mom and dad were very affirming to me when I was growing up, but I got to be able to do that for my kids. It's empowering to be that kind of a parent for your child. And what God has done is he's left us this love letter so that when we wake up every morning before we go to school, before we go to work, we can just open it up and just like read it. How many of you have ever just been going through something and you wake up in the morning? I don't recommend it, but sometimes we grab our phone before we even get out of bed. We grab our phone and we look at it and we get surprised by a text, an encouraging text. Hey there, this is Pastor Ron. I just want you to know I was thinking about you. God laid you on my heart. Here's a scripture for you. Whatever you're going through, God's got you, so it's going to be okay. You're like, wow, Pastor Ron texts me. This is so cool. He also texts everybody else too, but that's cool too. But still, it's like, whoa. Like you read your phone, you're just like, wow, this is amazing. It's just every day when you wake up, church, listen. There is a text message that God has crafted for you so that you will have an encouraging day, so you will have a loving day, so you will have a powerful day every day. So whether you're in Exodus or whether you're in 2 Corinthians, when you are taking your time and you're saying, I'm going to digest these two chapters and I'm just going to let the exhale of God's breath take over my entire life. You people that weren't born into the church, you know what I'm talking about, taking that deep. Hold it, bro. Some of you know what I'm talking about right now. Others of you can ask questions later. Hold it. What are you doing? I'm really making sure it hits me, bro. I think we need to do the same thing with the Word of God. It's not, okay, I'm a good Christian. I'm going to read my scripture, put it away, put a little check mark. I'm good. I'm good. No, bro, breathe it in. Keep it in there. Let it hit you on every level. Let it hit your marriage. Let it hit your parenting. Let it hit you as an employee. Let it hit you as a human. Let it hit you as a neighbor. And then guess what? You get to leave that day and you get to... You're going to exhale that on all the people that you're going to come in contact with. That, my friends, is how we're going to change the world. I'm preaching tonight. My time is saying that I'm done, but I wrote this down. The Holy Spirit defibrillates our spirit, that's a fancy word, every time we read the words. So you know what a defibrillator is, right? We have one in the lobby now. So in case anybody has a massive heart attack, we got you covered. We're going to pray for you and we're going to shock you. Okay? But the defibrillator can save your life. And I want you to know, every time you're in the Word of God, the defibrillator of the Holy Spirit just brings you back to life. That's you guys. Some of you, I need to hear God speak to me. God, why are you leaving God? And you're not even opening the Bible. You're just not, I mean, it's right there. He's like, woo, didn't you get my text? It's a long one. And the good news is you don't have to read the whole thing. Just choose one paragraph and boom, I got you covered. That's the Word of God. Look at your neighbor and say, that's the Word of God. It's God's first language. It's his first language. How am I doing on time? I've got two God stories, just how the Word of God has impacted my life and how it's impacted my wife's life. Okay, so the first God story, how the Word impacted my life. I'm praying. This is just real life stuff. I'm praying through a very messy situation as a leader when I was leading the Vegas church years and years and years ago. I had a volunteer that was just toxic. They were burned out, but they were still leading, and they didn't want to surrender their leadership. And I just knew they were burned out. But it's like, you know, some of you guys that are employers, you know, it's the toughest thing to do as an employer is fire somebody. But how do you fire a volunteer? How do you tell a volunteer, like, hey, you need to leave? You know, you not leave the church, but you need to step down. So I just was like, I was wrestling with this. You know, I had multiple people come to me going, hey, you know, that guy, like, that wasn't good. And, you know, he was creating church hurt in his own little leadership style. And I was like, man, God, I want to move on this. And, you know, I don't like stuff to sit. So I'm like, I'm just going to take care of this. And every time I would go to take care of this guy and just have a confrontation with this guy, something would happen. And I would get interrupted. And something would weird happen. And by the third time, it's like Samuel going to Eli. And I was like, okay, like, this isn't just, like, coincidence. I keep getting interrupted because God's trying to save me from myself. A lot of times, that's how God works, is he will speak to you by saying, I am not going to let you do that. And I will get in the way and make sure that you know this is me trying to stop you. So I just, okay, God, I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm just going to read my daily reading. And that day, we were in Exodus chapter 14. And I'm just reading the chapter just like, you know, we should be doing every day. And it just is years and years ago, we're going through the Bible, and this verse in chapter 14 hit me. He says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I was like, what? And, you know, of course, this is like written for Israel. And, you know, people are like, you know, don't take it out of context. But I was like, no. This is the word of God. And the reason God spoke this to the Israelites is because God is saying, I'm the same God that fought for the Israelites, and I'm fighting for you in the same way. There's no difference here. So this is a promise for Israel, but it's also a promise for you. So the Lord is going to fight for you, Jim. You need only to be still. But, you know, a person that gets anxious, that's hard. It's hard to sit still. I find myself, I'm the guy that's like, hey, just like sit and hang out. I'm like, foot is tapping. I'm doing something. I'm moving. I'm like, hey, dude, just chill out. It's hard. It's easier said than done. And I'm sitting there and I'm processing this. And then the Holy Spirit just dropped it on me. He said, I already got this handled. So I backed away. I said, okay, God, I'm going to make a mess of this. And you're going to make a masterpiece out of this. So I backed away. The next week, that dude, same guy, came to me and said, hey, Pastor Jim, man, I just got to tell you, I'm burned out, and I need to step down for a season, man. I need to kind of get my batteries recharged. And I said, oh, bro, you know, you got to do what you got to do, you know? I totally get it. I totally get it. I'll honor your request. That was all God. Then my wife, and I'll end with this. And then my wife, So Tara, for those of you that don't know, my wife is Pastor Ron's daughter, okay? So Ron is my father-in-law. And so she's 16. She's going through something, as most 16-year-old girls do. And so her dad's just being a good dad, just sitting with her and just saying, Tara, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And he said this phrase to her, which at the time didn't really mean anything, but he just said, hey, there's a verse in the Bible that says, no temptation has overtaken you, such as common demand. And God is faithful to give you a way of escape. So he's like speaking this just freestyle over his daughter. And he says, Tara, I'm just going to pray right now. And God is going to use your Bible right now to show you what I'm talking about. And so sure enough, she prays. He prays over her. She prays and says, God, I need to hear a word from you. And then I don't recommend this. I know Pastor Ron kind of cautions you on doing this, but she did what I call Bible roulette. Have you ever done this? Like, God, I need you to speak to me, and just open up the Bible and boom, whatever I put my finger on. How many have ever done that? Let's be honest, okay? We're at church. You got to be careful of that, because there is a verse that says that Judas hung himself, and you're like, what is happening? It's really a verse, so be careful. But he really felt inspired, like that was how God was going to speak to his daughter. And out of 31,102 verses in her Bible, she opens the Bible up, puts her finger down with her eyes closed, and she reads, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? God is real. And not only is he real, he wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to help you. But you have to give him the opportunity to speak. And he will if you do it. And the primary way he's going to do it is you opening that Bible and you letting the exhale of God's breath be inhaled into your very being. And my friend, God is going to change your life. Let me pray. Father, as we close our time tonight, God, I pray for each and every one that is here. God, I know there's some people in this room, there are people watching online, they haven't given their lives to God. Maybe a friend invited them tonight. Maybe just some kind of a voice inside their head said, get to VBF tonight. There's something for you. And here they are. And God, you are using me as your voice right now to speak to them saying, it's time. Today is the day of salvation. It's time to turn from the way you've been living and to give your life to God. To follow Jesus. To let him change you. To let his spirit come and live in you. And he is greater than the hold that the drugs have over you. He is greater than the power of that abusive relationship has over you. And tonight he wants to set some people free. But in order to do that, you got to receive the invitation. You got to come to Jesus. You got to give him your life. And if you're ready to make that decision to give your life to God, to be filled with the Spirit of God through a relationship with Jesus who died for you, to cleanse you of all of your sin and to forgive you and to put you in right relationship with God, if you're ready to make that decision tonight, right where you're sitting, just pop your hand up. Say, man, Pastor, that is me 100%. I know this is why I came to church tonight. God bless you. Anybody else, just pop your hand up and say, that's me. I know this. I need to give my life to God. Yeah, God bless you guys. You too. God bless you. Maybe online, just hit that little chat and say, man, I need to give my life to God too. Just type that in. But for those that raise your hand, just pray this prayer after me. Maybe some of you have already done this years ago, but God's saying it's time to come home, child. Tonight, I reminded not just who you are, I reminded you whose you are. You are mine. It's time to come home. Some of you need to rededicate your life to God tonight. And so you pray this prayer too. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for dying for my sins, forgiving me of all the wrong that I've done. And tonight I'm coming home. So your will, your purpose for my life can be completely achieved. Help me, guide me, change me in only the way that you can. Let the exhale of heaven cover every part of who I am as a person. Let me inhale the exhale of heaven right now. And change me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you guys. God bless you guys. Hey, tell somebody around you, I'm so grateful that you sat by me tonight. If you need prayer for whatever reason, there's a prayer team up here that would love to pray for you. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our